I think this is going to be more of a personal recording. I discovered some things over the weekend. What? No, not some things. Anyway, when it comes to these recordings, when we do it in Lisa's car, which has built-in microphones that you use, need to use a better, a higher bandwidth encoding. I probably need to go up from the very lowest settings, which I use when I'm using my good headset that really cleans things up and really delivers something useful to the recorder. When you're in to say suboptimal is interesting because there's nothing more suboptimal than in the recording situation that I use every day or many days. But yeah, I need to do better. I need to set kind of a wolf car. That's what cars call wolves. Bandwidth. Anyway. This is the Monday of Thanksgiving week. A lot of people are on leave. Just found out that I've got my Sipper token. And so I gotta go get that. I gotta go pick it up today, and that means that a lot of the things that I've just been kind of on hold to do, I'm not on hold to do anymore. I think I have all the approvals to fully function. So now it's a question of let's fully function. Yeah. Other than that, yesterday, Sunday, was a really bad day. I handled it badly. I was trying to destroy my marriage. I was doing a pretty good job. Thank goodness Lisa's, at least on its face, pretty resilient to this. I'm sure it's something more obnoxious. I couldn't get the copy machine at church to do what Lisa wanted to do. And I was working hard to try to make it happen. And like I said, I am not a fan of overly computerized systems. And that's what a modern copier is. Copiers back in the old days, you could do all kinds of fun stuff on them. And you knew what they were doing. And if it had a limitation, you could just work around them. The modern ones are kind of dummy-proof, which means they are a fantastic foil to somebody who has I'm kind of reticent to say I've got brains or I'm smart. This is one of those cases where being smart is actually works against you. I have tried to cultivate being dumb under some circumstances, and that works. It helps to pursue something as if you're a bonehead. And because if you try to put any kind of logic to it, you're just going to get thwarted by a system which isn't designed for anybody like that. anyway, so I was trying to get really angry and really upset. And I was banging around, and Lisa was really embarrassed by my behavior. And I'm not saying that that was wrong of her to be. I said, ultimately I tried to put it off. I said, this is how I handle problems. This is how things get solved in our world. When I've just got to get things done. But, you know, I think those words are kind of hollow, honestly. So, then the same day, I don't know why I'm still looking for properties. I don't know what that is. If it's the Lord, if it's the Lord trying to lead me to something, I'm concerned that my schizophrenia is turning it into something terrible. We'll see how I circle back to this. Anyway, so I went to look at a property just below Duke and Cherry Mountain, kind of between all the truck stops off of I-40 and Duke and Cherry Mountain. And it was interesting brake lands, which I think are always good. Although there is something of an old structure on it, it's totally raped and destroyed. And to my mind, is zero value. Somebody wants to get some money out of it. This is trying to be really nice, but it's like, this is a stupid waste of money. Why is this even interesting to you? And she wants to have those kinds of things, and I don't have anything to say. I'm just following my nose. I don't know if it's the spirit or not. I just don't know. And, of course, I'm sorry. Is that going to be sufficient? Absolutely not. There's got to be some larger, obvious reason, and I understand that. I don't know. I've always lived on the weird edges, or, you know, when they say flyover country, they say flyover country about Phoenix and Denver and Salt Lake City and Albuquerque. Albuquerque is really kind of a small example. You know, flyover country for people trying to get from one purposeful part of the United States, the East Coast, to the other purposeful part of the United States, the West Coast. Everything in between is just, I don't know, I'm sure there's some people who do that traveling part of Europe and would love for all this stuff in the middle to fall into some kind of a sinkhole, close up, and actually get the two coasts closer together. So their airplane travels don't take as long. Maybe cost less. Anyway, well, I got to tell you, I'm a guy that is several levels below that. Albuquerque is huge for me. Relatively, I'm from Southern California. I was born there, and I lived there until I was 7. That doesn't mean a lot, but, you know, I've seen traffic, and I've seen congestion, and I've seen the press of mankind. I, even though I was kind of in, I don't know, I was was in Orange County. Anyway, so I'm way between those. And still trying to get from there. I am concerned that at some level, after Trump has done what he's going to try to do, which is going to be, sadly, quickly rolled back into the whole thing of this is all about socialism and our steady march and trying to get further and further down that road to socialism because so many people in America want it. You know, well, the majority does it, and now the majority of rednecks, I don't know where I fit in. I don't fit in. I'm not part of any group. That people don't. Anyway, these people matter less and less, which is hilarious. These are the elites are the sorts that what they basically want to do is use the United States as a big piggy bank, and that's what it's been able to become. Is the world's biggest piggy bank. We tend to pay for, on some level or another, almost everything that other people can't afford. Like, recently, just in the last couple of days, COP29 was just done, and what was ultimately decided was countries like the United States need to pony up a ton of money to give to poor countries so that they can reach climate goals. And that this is being done in the typical quasi-socialistic manner in that we don't really have any say in it. These are some things that the United States quote leadership they make the decisions and they run things. They have decided that you know this is our responsibility and that this is you know. We got to take care of all the poor countries. We have to police them. We have to provide all of the military for them. I mean, those people can still go out and create their own little militia armies, and go and kill each other, and also pump up their chests and say, and stand up to the evil specter of America. And you're going, you know what? I said, we would just assume you guys take care of yourselves and pull out. Of course, the minute we would try to do that, there would be an unholy screaming. How dare you? You know, a good chunk of our economy depended on, you know, being local contractors to American interests, either businesses or military operations or all those things. And I don't know if they've become dependent on them, but a whole lot of their powerful people profit handsomely. To the point where they would get, you know, they would do what they can do, which is mostly propaganda, going to UN meetings and bad-mouthing America. In one breath, because we're too intrusive into their affairs. And on the other breath, because we don't give them more economic opportunities. Through whatever program we're up to in their country. they want all those benefits, but they also want us to stay out of their affairs. You go, well, there it is, I guess. And that was what COP 29 was. Yet another thing saying, climate change is destroying our country. We need countries like the United States to pony up more money to us Ukraine war there was a certain agreement that we weren't going to do anything before November, the end of November. Now it's the end of November, so now we've decided to flip some switch, and now all the money that we, all the money and munitions we have shipped over to Ukraine, they were originally, it was all originally done as a loan. The people of Ukraine were going to have to figure out some way to pay that back someday for us to basically arm and finance them. Well, now, you know, because this was all done so that, I don't know, I don't think they care about the American people at all, our leadership. So certain parts of our leadership would sign on to helping Ukraine. Now all those loans that converted to grants, we just gave it to them. And it's like, okay, well, I can't do a thing about it. Every time I have been, the few times I've expressed myself to a representative, I was either schooled about how stupid I was. You know, I didn't think that was the job of my representative. I thought he was supposed to just take in all of my grief and then ignore it and do whatever he good and well pleased. Now it's gotten to the point to where those people come back and tell me, this actually happened. I actually wrote to my state representative, and he took the time to write me back and get indignant with me. And it's like, you know, you're supposed to listen to me. You don't have to do what I say. In fact, you know, of course he didn't. I was expressing my unhappiness because veterans, and I guess I'm being rude because many of my children are now veterans. Veterans are some special group now. They get a lot of perks. They get to vote for, you know, we were doing a big tax increase. One that wouldn't hit them at all. It was a property tax increase. And they were proposing that veterans didn't have to pay property tax at all. And they're going, wait a minute. I said, yeah, those same veterans have the ability to vote on taxes that they're not levied. And I said, that's wrong. I said, we need to find some way. The state really wants to raise taxes, which I didn't think was really necessary. But they shouldn't be allowed to vote on it because it doesn't matter to them. Their tax rate of zero wouldn't go up. They would be, you know, what incentive would they have not to pay for property tax increases? It don't affect them. They just say, oh, go ahead. raise taxes or don't vote on them. Just smack to me of taxation without representation, kind of the reverse of taxation without representation. I said that they were an interesting elite class who didn't have to care about the problems of other people because they no longer have those problems. And of course, I got written back. I won't say who did it. How dare you? How dare you speak against veterans? You go, oh, see, that's, I know. It's just that one exchange. It was like, okay, well, he's not here to actually represent me. He's here to school me. Interesting, because, of course, he was, I don't know if he was a coach or a school teacher. I think he was just a coach. He's a quasi-school teacher, mostly a coach. He bounced around a bunch of other schools. Now I think he's a superintendent. Because that's what happens to coaches. Coaches tend to become administrators. At least around here they do. Anyway, so, that's one example, I guess. Guy felt pretty secure in his position. He was a Republican on the Republican side of the state. He didn't have to pander to me. So there it was. Even to say thank you for your input. You know, even if you don't agree, it's like, you know, at least acknowledge that thanks for the input. No, you're going to ignore me and not even begin to understand what I'm trying to say. Anyway, so I'm flyover. I don't know what to say exactly, except I feel this need. Although I think I'm in the position now where I'm not going to try to do it on another piece of property. Because one of my biggest problems is, once I don't need a thing, how do I get rid of it? I've got this house, and the big question is, how do I get rid of it? You say, well, you can sell it, you know. I'm in the position of not knowing. It's definitely a buyer's market where I am. There are a lot of empty houses looking for, not even looking. A lot of houses in Tucumcari, they're competing against sheriff sales. You know, people haven't paid their taxes, and you're just, all you have to do is pay back their back taxes. And there it is. So that's basically your competition. Because most of the houses are junk anyway. Even the ones that you think might be better because they're newer, maybe a little larger, those are abandoned and burnt down and rifled through. Like I said, Tucumcari looks very realistically like a post-apocalyptic nightmare. It's basically closing up. There's every chance sometime in the future something will go bad in there. But maybe I'm taking this a little too far. Trying to be a little too off-grid. Anyway, I've probably taken Lisa about as down, as low as she is ever willing to go. So, I know there was an old their company that retrofitted swamp coolers to solar. My biggest thing is the next cooler I get, all I need is a 12-volt fan to blow air into my house. I've got solar panels. I have yet to actually work over them a bit to see how many of them are even decent. These were all warranted panels that with hail damage. And they got freighted up and hauled off to a central place. They were being sold on to scrap. And I bought 25 300 watt 30 volt solar panels for like $100. And worked a little bit with them. I really need, well, I've got resources. I need to start pulling them together. I'm looking at these Hessair swamp coolers. They're not made out of metal. They're made out of like polyurethane or something. One of the biggest problems with my metal ones is that my water is so calcified that it really starts destroying these painted metal swamp coolers. And so yeah, I want to rework this with this different material. And you don't have the old squirrel fan, you know, the one that looks like a drum and spins around kind of like a sideways washing machine. This one actually just has a motor with a propeller. Kicks out a lot of air. As I see that, I can probably convert that to 12-volt a lot more readily. Well, I don't know if it's any more readily than any other, but I can see how these things go. I don't know. I haven't done research to see if those could be run off of DC. Typically not. Most AC motors are of a manufacturer that's all they can work off of. Nobody anticipated it going both ways. Anyway, so I didn't want to just hook up an inverter and run the whole system off of a inverter. That may ultimately prove to be more economical and more workable. Oh, I have to see. Anyway, so inverters are pretty cheap things right now. You know, you put a battery behind it, convert it to 120 AC, which requires little bitty wires, and then you're running your swamp cooler off of that. It also comes in handy because a lot of the equipment in a house is 120, and replacing all of that with mostly 24 volt, in this case, My system can do 24 volt or 48, I think. I think the bigger it is, the more useful it becomes. And then you just put half things on it, like the most important thing that would be on the solar system. Would be the cooling system. It really makes sense, you know. The more sunlight you have, the hotter it's going to be. And that lets your system, you know, your system has to run at peak when it's the hottest. And it's like, yeah, man, that's the way we're going to run it. Cool. Anyway, so that's the possibility. I have a south-facing roof right next to the swap cooler. And that will, so all the power's right in one nice convenient location. I was going to do solar panels on one side, and then solar water heater system on the other side, on the east side. And then just, you know, and preheat the water coming into the gas hot water heater. It's easy and inexpensive, and anyway, it's easy and inexpensive. And it would make it so that I can easily switch from the solar stored power over to the landline whenever I needed to. Anyway, so a lot of the centralized power things that are needed. Could run the various spark systems. There's one on the stove. There's one on the there's one on the hot water heater. Our actual furnace has a pilot light, standing pilot light, which is my preference. Now, if I have now have natural gas, which is wonderful. I need a couple of backups for if something goes badly with one thing or another. But looking at those rocket stoves, I said those rocket stoves are pretty nice. But to put some twigs, small branches, stuff like that in there. And it heats up and it warms up some mass. And a very radiant heat. Something you can almost put your feet on. So, anyway, do something akin to that. Put it right under where Lisa's feet go, coming off the couch. That would make Lisa's life complete, I tell you. So, I think it would be interesting to take the sink water straight off of the hot water the solar hot water up high and let it do kind of a gravity flow, I think that would be good. A good system, good system. So, what else? Anyway, those are the big main ones. And you want to do a system that can be converted back and forth easily, but like just flipping a switch and watch your electric bills just go down to nearly, to really low, you know. But you can hook up whatever you want to it. Most of my computers, I convert to 12 volt, and that makes everything work about 100 times better. And when there's a brownout, it wouldn't affect me. Go ahead and put 120 volt in that room, in the office, but you know, also have 12 volt there. It would definitely be a house that wouldn't be easy to sell at all. But you go, God, they didn't have hardly any bills. They go, yep, that's what I was trying for. So my biggest bills come up to being darn property taxes. Those never go down. And, because, there's just so many things. Like if you wanted to get an electric bicycle and run that, a lot of those electric bicycles are either 48 or 54 volts. And it's just simpler. Instead of coming up with a conversion system off of 24 volts or something like that, you actually run, you go ahead and just run 120 volt AC and have it and have whatever adapter it has run off of that. We're all in your rack. Anyway, so I think that stuff would be pretty cool. To get that running, I've already got a small system made for a smaller outfit, but you know, you can go ahead and get one that's a little more beefy. You never want to try to run the refrigerator or the freezer off of solar, particularly, unless you just have that much power sitting there handy. I don't see the point of it. And you go, well, those are the ones that use the most electricity. You go, that's the point. Because I can't get Lisa off of it. You know, she goes, nope. This is, so can we get a chest freezer, Lee? Those are a lot more efficient. And she's like, nope. I can't reach into those. I'm too short. And it's like, and what are you going to do? She says, nothing. Says, you're not going to be able to talk Lisa into stuff that she doesn't want to do. You just got to know that for just the way it is. And that's, you know, that's what I married. And can I tell you, she's a lot more adventurous than most women. Most women wouldn't put up with any of this at all, unless it's what they wanted. A husband trying to get a wife into doing this, good luck. Won't happen. A wife getting a husband to do it, there's nothing to it. In fact, he might kind of get a cool, you know, he might find it to be cool. I don't know how many women think along these lines that want this kind of stuff. I'm not particularly married to one of them. if I can do it so that she doesn't notice, that's the best circumstance. That's what I plan on doing. You know, the swamp cooler is going to be, if I can make it so it's like, Lisa, you don't have to worry. It's not even on a switch. As soon as it has enough power, as soon as the sun is up enough, the swamp cooler kicks on. And you don't even have to mess with it. It'll shut down when the power goes down. That one would be the most fun one to hook up for just making things work is one that has no battery in it at all. You know, you might have a supercapacitor in there to help kick off that DC motor to get it spinning. That's a possibility. But otherwise, you know, really not, you can experiment with a couple of things. If I can get a DC motor that could replace the AC one that's actually built into the unit, all the better. But always be ready that you're probably going to have to put it through an inverter and do it with 120 because you can't, it's hard to find parts. Oh, even though the wonderful thing about swamp coolers is that they're just so butt easy. You know, there's nothing to them. So, I don't lose it. It just gets buried. Okay. Anyway. Oh. I'm not sure exactly how to handle that. I mean, I will have the part of the system that runs an inverter, and then you get your power from the inverter. Is there a loss? Oh, yeah. There's going to be loss to it. But it's kind of expensive to fight that loss to the point to where it's like, is it really worthwhile to try to fight it? You can live in your whole world with a whole bunch of RV parts. You know, you can get RV appliances and things like that. My house isn't much bigger than a nice RV. So a lot of those kinds of things would suit to a certain level. Anyway, so. And the rainwater catchment systems, I'm looking at updates to all that. Not typically getting new equipment, but just getting, just doing better placement and trying to make new ways for water to flow off of the roof and be caught, which is my biggest thing. The house that I have is actually really kind of well suited to doing this kind of stuff. Anyway, so I think that's all I really have to say this morning. And I'm going this way because you got to talk to me later. Or all the places where I work are off of this side anyway. Okay, I think I'm done. And this is just going to be just one that gets dumped in the personal hopper. I haven't been doing a lot of the personal hopper ones. This is a good one to put in there. And so I'll leave it at that, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.